You're listening to Flip This Risk, where it's time for a new conversation about risk management. From the boardroom all the way to the barbershop down the street, you can overcome fear of risk and thrive. Join your host, Dr. Karen Hardy, for candid conversations with industry leaders from across the globe. Dr. Karen brings her experience as an industry thought leader, best-selling author, and Apex Award winner to each episode. On the forefront of today's risk management strategies, helping leaders from small and large businesses overcome risk and feel confident in their choices. Let's start the show.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Karen Hardy, and welcome to Flip This Risk podcast, where we interview high achievers about their relationship with risk-taking and how it influences their leadership resiliency. You can find out more about our podcast at flipthisriskpodcast.com. And today, I'm very excited to have with me Sarah Barnes Humphrey, who's the founder of Let's Talk Supply Chain. Welcome, Sarah.
Hello, Karen. I'm super excited to be here, and congratulations on all your success.
I really do appreciate that. Well, I mean, you're definitely someone I watch on social media, especially when it comes specifically to supply chains and logistics, and your content is feedback is great. So congratulations on all the work that you're doing and contributing to your field.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I've been in this industry for, 25 years or something like that. That's going to date me, but
it's okay.
Let's just be honest, right?
Let's just be honest. That's what it's all about, being honest and open and helping people understand some of the challenges and opportunities when it comes to supply chains and logistics. Mm-hmm. Especially, we can't stop talking about COVID because it's had such a great impact on everything we've done. So I'm sure that supply chain is no exception.
That is very, very true. And it's still continuing. A lot of people don't quite realize that supply chain professionals are still very much in the chaos of the pandemic because things keep happening. We keep getting shutdowns. And if it's not one port that's busy, it's another port that's busy. And really, at the end of the day, we haven't had the relief that we need to reset our supply chains and start thinking about the future.
Well, how do you reset the supply chain? Because what I'm envisioning is things just get backed up pretty much like a highway, right? You got just a ripple effect, right? Everything gets backed up. So now, because COVID created that chaotic situation for supply chains, how do you untangle yourself from something like this?
Well, first off, we need some time to be able to do that. And we really haven't had any relief at all since the beginning of the pandemic. And supply chains that were built for the pre-pandemic, they no longer work. And so at the end of the day, throughout the pandemic, supply chain professionals have not only been busy putting out fires and trying to get product and like figuring out their way, they've also had to really rethink and maybe unlearn some of the things that they've learned pre-pandemic to really help them figure out what the next way forward is for their supply chains. And there's a variety of different things that they can think about, that they have to think about now, that have happened during the pandemic that has really brought up a variety of risk factors that maybe we didn't have before because it kind of ran like clockwork, right? It was running. I mean, don't get me wrong, there was challenges, but nothing like we've seen in the last couple of years. And now it's really like, where do we spend our risk dollars? Like, what do we want that to look like for us? And for some companies, it's, let's keep our suppliers in China. For some companies, it's let's look at raw materials closer to home. For some companies, it's let's look at Vietnam. Let's look at India. I mean, Apple went to India. And one of the reasons why they did for the manufacturing is because it opens up a whole new customer base for them. So just rethinking the way things are connected and what it actually means to their business and what they're willing to do and what they're not willing to do anymore. And every supply chain is unique to every company.
Well, that's interesting. That makes it even more overwhelming, at the same time fascinating, knowing that every supply chain can be different, because we're under the impression that supply chain is a supply chain, just like the U.S. supply chain versus, and you're located in Canada, right?
I am, yeah.
How does the Canadian supply chain, and pick any example you want or scope, differ from a U.S. supply chain?
So that's a really interesting question, because there's Canadian companies that import and export to and from Canada, but there's also Canadian companies that import and export all over the world, but they do it from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when I say supply chains are different by company, it's really by company, not really country. I mean, there's countries, different countries have different rules and regulations that you have to adhere to. But it's really about navigating all of that. Like, some American companies will ship their goods via the port of Vancouver because they don't want to go into LA Long Beach. And then they'll move the product in bond to the States, clear it at the border, and then bring it into their facility. So some of them use Canada as part of their supply chain, even though they're an American company. And for Canadians and for Canadian companies, like, we don't have a lot of manufacturing here, right? Mm-hmm. And so majority of it is imports. And we only have a couple of ports, right? Like, we only have Montreal, Halifax, and Vancouver, whereas the U.S. has a plethora of ports throughout the country. And so sometimes we do have to look at Seattle. You know, if Vancouver is really backed up, or there's a labor strike at the rail lines, which I think just happened, and that backs everything up, right? And so Canadian supply chains really are kind of like American supply chains. European supply chains are very different because there's multitude of different countries and multitude of customs and all sorts of different things. But in North America, it's kind of interchangeable. And a lot of Canadian companies sell to Americans, and a lot of American companies sell to Canadians. So it's really just a matter of strategy. And again, where you want to spend your risk dollars.
You know, that makes a lot of sense when you think about it. I mean, it's fascinating when you mentioned earlier that a lot of organizations, companies, industry itself has to think about doing things differently, because what you're saying is that what we did before is just broken. It's totally broken. You have to start from scratch. Are people actually starting from scratch?
Yeah. So one example is Hershey. So Hershey came out a couple of weeks ago and said they will not probably have Halloween candy.
Okay, Sarah, first of all, that's, everyone's panicking right now. Everyone that's listening, just calm down for a second before explain why Hershey is running out of chocolate candy.
So, well, they're not. It's specifically Halloween candy. And there's other brands that produce Halloween candy. So we should have enough Halloween candy, I would imagine. But Hershey,
that's a big brand not to be ready for a holiday like that.
Yeah. So Hershey uses the same manufacturing line to make their regular candy bars and their Halloween candy bars. But the demand is up so much, they had to make a decision. And so they decided to run their manufacturing lines for their regular candy and forego Halloween this year, as far as I'm understanding it anyways. No. And also part of that challenge is ingredients as well. So they're having a bunch of supply chain disruptions and they can't get some of the ingredients that they need. And so that is where you kind of go, okay, well, for 2022, we'll forgo the revenue that we make on Halloween candy, right?
Right.
But for 2023, what does that need to look like for us so this doesn't happen to us again? And so when we talk about sort of rethinking the supply chain, so where are we getting those ingredients? Can we get them somewhere else? And if we do get them from somewhere else, how do we get them to our manufacturing run? And what do we need to do to get it there? Because again, if you've got an ingredient coming from South America going to a Chinese manufacturer, that's different than having an ingredient coming from Australia going to a Chinese manufacturer. The transit times are different that you have to calculate. The customs and regulations are different. So many different things that we need to think about.
You're listening to Flip This Risk Podcast with Dr. Karen Hardy, and we'll be right back with more great conversation after this. Do you want to write a book but don't know where to start? No worries. We've got you covered. Become a published risk management author with Flip This Risk Books. Flip This Risk Books is an international award-winning book series written by industry subject matter experts and practitioners, just like you. Want to build your professional brand and authority in the field? Write a chapter for our next book series. Visit flipthisriskbooks.com.
A lot of things to think about. Really, when you think about the microcosm of everything, it just blows your mind. Well, because of the situation we're in, and you know, hindsight is 2020, of course. So what do companies do in terms of becoming more transparent, especially now with the, you know, the trust factor out there? How do people feel comfortable about, how do they go forth in doing business and be transparent?
So this is the other thing that you have to think about, right? Is that consumers are expecting different things from the retailers that they're buying from, right? You've got sustainability, you've got diversity and inclusion, and all of that has to do with business, not only business, but also supply chain. Supply chain actually creates most of the sustainability challenges in our climate, right? Because they emit the most carbon, they have the biggest carbon footprint. And so when you think about all of these things that need to be thought about and all the collaboration that needs to happen internally, because supply chains touch marketing, they touch sales, they touch customer experience, like everything supply chain touches. And, you know, I think that being transparent, if you're a smaller company, can be a little bit easier, although you don't have the manpower. And to be a bigger company, it's a bit of a bigger lift because you've got to get everybody on board and you got to kind of change the culture. You got to kind of change the way that you do business. You got to change the way you talk to your consumer and let them know what you're doing. And, you know, traceability is crazy, right? Like if you've got a product and you want to know the origin of the, not only the finished product, but maybe it's the yarn that was used or the cotton that was used. Like there's a lot that goes into this and you can't pivot very easily into transparency. There's a lot of technology out there, but you really need to know your manufacturing, your supply chains in and out to really become that transparent company that consumers want to buy from.
Yeah. And it's really making companies and organizations much more accountable as well. Maybe they didn't have a strong vendor management, vendor risk management, you know, program within the organizations, and they really didn't know what the risk posture of these supply chain companies were at first. So caught off guard. So there's a lot of organizations that have to be a lot more accountable. And I think that's what's happening. Now they're talking about frameworks to be put in place, transparency, you know, let me know what your risk profile looks like for some of these vendors and things like that. Yeah. So with that in mind, what does the future of supply chain looks like? Because all of a sudden supply chain is popular. Very popular, more popular than it used to be. It's on the front page or where you go, you hear about this. What's the future?
So I don't have a crystal ball, Karen, but I think e-commerce is, you know, obviously here to stay. It increased 300% over the pandemic. I think things have calmed down a little bit because people are spending their money in different ways. They're going traveling now, whereas before they didn't really have you know, they didn't have the option to be able to do that. I think that we hopefully will see the relief that we need. And I think you're going to find some really big innovation happening in supply chains for different organizations in how they're thinking about what that looks like for them. I think that they're using supply chain as a competitive advantage, which is huge.
Yeah.
And I think they're also going to figure out what they want to, and I keep saying this, spend their risk dollars. Because there's a lot of risk in the supply chain, but it depends how far you want to go. And if something like this pandemic happened again, what would you want that to look like for your organization? What are the things that you're prepared to risk for, and mm-hmm. what are the things that you are not, and you want to mitigate that risk entirely. And that even includes, you know, supplier diversity, right? Mm-hmm. But even when you're looking at different suppliers to provide you with raw materials or finished products, that doesn't happen overnight. And if you're a big company looking to work with a smaller company, there's a lot of concessions you have to make, from legal contracts to payment terms, because smaller companies can't actually adhere to 90-day, you know, payment terms or a contract that's going to cost them $5,000 to go through. And so that's the other side of it, is if you are going to be looking at supplier diversity, you got to look at the practices and how you're bringing on board and bringing them on board and what that actually looks like. And so it's not just supply chains, it's a ripple effect throughout the organization of processes and procedures and things that need to be looked at for mm-hmm. us to really move forward.
It makes you think about the importance of a lot of these large corporations in their diversity councils and diversity programs that they have, and how important it is to have a diverse group of, you know, companies involved in the supply chain. Maybe before the, you know, COVID, there were limited opportunities for, you know, different types of company, right? Like people of color and things like that. Well, yeah. Now, as we're rebuilding everything, ensuring that you do have a diversity of supply chain vendors available and a part of your program, so that you won't be limiting yourself if things like this should actually happen again. Yep. And I know you're strong on diversity, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, it's something that I'm very passionate about. I started off with a Woman in Supply Chain series on the podcast, and now I have a second podcast called Blended, where I bring mm-hmm. five different people from different walks of life together to talk about diversity and inclusion in the workplace. And we've turned that into a nonprofit. And we're now giving away grants to diverse voices to cover travel expenses so they can say yes to speaking engagements.
That is awesome. That is awesome, Sarah. I'm glad to see and to hear that you're doing some fabulous work like that. Listen, again, you talked about risk and making sure that the supply chain companies are putting their risk dollars to the risk that matters, because there's so many risks out here, you can't possibly mitigate all of them. No. So you have to figure out, you know, which ones are the most important to an organization. But speaking of risks, I mean, you've taken a lot of the risks yourself. You started a great company in supply chain with the Let's Talk Supply Chain brand. What is it about you that gave you the courage to step out and take risks and create this brand and to make a difference?
So I've always had side hustles. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I worked for my family business. And then I started the podcast while I was at the family business. And unfortunately, they closed the doors. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was really thrown into this. And so I wish I had taken this step a lot sooner, but I can tell you I was kind of thrown into it. But I lost my team. I lost my co-host. So I had to learn graphic design, social media, website design, and I am not good at it whatsoever. But I knew that I had companies paying to come on the show, and I couldn't let them down. I had to keep it going, and I really didn't have anything else to do. So I did it. And, you know, I had to rebrand it because a lot of women wouldn't come on the show with it being called the original name, which is Two Babes Talk Supply Chain. And there's a whole story behind that. But I've always been like, I've got two entrepreneur parents, and mm-hmm. I think that's really shaped me into being a bit of a risk taker, sometimes not doing enough due diligence, which gets me into trouble, but a lot of risks that have really paid off for me, and also just sort of pushing the envelope. And even though I'm scared or have anxiety around something, still saying yes and doing it anyways, has always been something that I've kind of done. I mean, even with public speaking, like I was terrified of public speaking. I still kind of am a little bit. And I got a talent agent, and I went to auditions, and I got thrown out of audition rooms. And that was a really big risk because I didn't want to be an actress. I just really wanted to get over my fear and try it in a different way, because I would not sign up for Toastmasters. Like, that was terrifying. Mm-hmm. But I ended up on live TV with Denise Richards twice. You know, it led to some really, really cool experiences that I can sort of reflect on now and talk about. And, you know, and I just keep trying to push the envelope. It's really just about, and I think it's also failing publicly. Like it bothers me, but I still do it anyways. It's either going to work out or it's not. And now if I try something and it doesn't work out, everybody knows.
Is that a satisfaction for you, knowing that publicly failing for it?
No, I think about it all the time. I'm like, if this doesn't work out, if this doesn't work out, everybody's going to know. I mean, that's going to suck.
But if it does work out, everyone's going to know.
That is very true. I mean, they say that what you have to try something like 9 times and then the 10th time it'll work. Trust me, I've had many businesses that did not work out.
Well, listen, I think we can all relate to what you've gone through in terms of being the one that's stepping out in front, being the pioneer, taking those chances, you know, all that other imposter syndrome that comes with it, but yet making a difference. And I think that's what the difference is. You make an attempt, you try, you do it, versus who wants to have regret?
That's very, very true. And I try to talk about it. Like, I try to be as authentic as possible about the journey, because it's not easy, right? Like, a lot of people didn't see me back in 2018, you know, struggling to create a graphic to go with my podcast episode, you know, and, you know, they see what it is now and they're like, wow, like that, you know, it looks like it happened overnight. No.
It does.
There's been a lot of tears. There's been a lot of betrayal, you know, along the way. There's been just a lot of, you know, everything that you kind of go through as an entrepreneur, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And well, listen, I appreciate you. My audience appreciate you and sharing your knowledge and information with our audience in terms of helping us understand supply chain risks and the whole portfolio of risks that's out here, just to get a better understanding of it. So again, thank you for your time.
I appreciate you having me on, Karen. This was such an honor. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And thank you to all of my listeners today for checking in Flip This Risk podcast. I'm Dr. Karen Hardy, and we'll catch you next time.
Helping you feel secure is our strategy, all the way from the boardroom to the barbershop down the street. Subscribe at flipthisriskpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.